Hi, Cassie Cohn. Welcome to KBOO.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Bill.
Cassie Cohn is the director of the Portland Harbor Community Coalition. Actually, she's also now the lead organizer on Phone Answer, though they are hiring a second staff member very soon. The coalition is a great example of why local struggles for climate justice are today probably the fastest growing and most dynamic parts of the U.S. environmental movement. Right here in our River City, actually it's a river metropolis, the Portland Harbor Community Coalition demonstrates how a very low overhead volunteer-powered organization can become a thorn in the side of the city's economic and political elites. They do that by battling for the health and well-being of the low-income communities that live and breathe along the harbor and eat the fish and the rest of it. Cassie, tell us why and how the coalition organized, and what are your major projects today?
Thank you. So we found out about the Superfund site, and by Superfund, I mean the Portland Harbor, this 10.8-mile stretch of the Willamette River from the Broadway Bridge or the Fremont Bridge all the way up to the south end of Sylvie Island has been designated since 2000 by the federal government as one of the most contaminated sites in the nation and is a priority cleanup site. So we, as in another previous environmental justice organization called Groundwork Portland, were informed about some big decisions that were coming about the Portland Harbor Superfund site back in 2012. And we were called to action. Basically, community leaders felt that there was a void, that there were not existing groups focused on especially organizing and making aware and mobilizing communities that have been disproportionately impacted, either historically or on an ongoing basis or currently, by the contamination in the Portland Harbor. And so at the time, we did a number of dialogues and discussions with existing conservation groups. We checked in with the six tribes that have treaty rights to the Willamette River, who already had a very formal role in the Portland Harbor Superfund project. And basically, all parties at the time were supportive and felt like there was a gap and a need for a group to focus on mobilizing the community around this issue. And so we got started, and it really was just a very grassroots effort centering groups that have membership and that serve and represent those different communities. So like the Native American community or tribes, the Black community, many of whom came from the South to work in the Kaiser shipyards, had jobs working on the river and were often exposed in the 40s and 50s and maybe didn't even realize some toxins that they were exposed to on the job that were also contaminating the river and the fish at the time. You know, also a lot of those families lived close enough that they had a very intimate relationship with the river and the culture of fishing and consuming fish. And that's for the most part been cut off for a lot of these intergenerational families. Immigrants and refugees, over the years, there's, you know, the Latino population, the Eastern European, the Slavic community, the API community are big fisher communities, and it's subsistence fishing that they depend on. And so unless word gets around in those communities that the Portland Harbor resident fish are not safe for mothers and their babies, for example, those folks will continue to consume fish. So we found it pretty critical. It was sort of high priority for us to just at least even get the word out that this was an issue so people can choose for themselves about what to do about it. And so for the most part, and in an ongoing basis, we, as new people are made aware, there's usually initial shock because people don't understand why didn't I know about this before? And so we have to unpack that. And then sometimes there's a whole added trauma response if people can think about how their family members or they themselves potentially have been impacted or exposed over many years or many generations, and that, you know, authorities did not warn them or their families in the past. and that there's nothing that can be done necessarily. So we feel like our coalition needs to actually focus on that healing, and it's not easy, you know, because agencies are not willing to go there necessarily, right?
Yeah. One of the things that environmentalists have going for them in this country is laws passed in the 60s and 70s, the environmental laws, they had broad provisions for intervening and regulating companies and their toxic discharges. It's a very broad authority to step in, but often they don't, right? That's the problem you face. Your problem is getting the state to do the things that they should be doing. How do you deal with that?
I guess what we have learned is that even though, I guess, the determination of, you know, the cleanup level for Portland Harbor and other Superfund sites is based on an environmental and health risk assessment and years of research, in the end, communities always end up feeling that the Environmental Protection Agency is not really addressing the cleanup in the way that they want. That to, you know, the regulatory agency, to the federal government, cleanup means do it to avoid risk at kind of the basic level and to basically save money as much as possible. That's the influence of the responsible parties, right? So they want to protect their bottom lines. So they will do everything to attempt to slow down, to minimize the cleanup level, to undo the record of decision, which is the legally binding decision that EPA has for Portland Harbor.
Yeah. Your organizations, the whole set of organizations that are working with or are part of the coalition, are trying to force the EPA and the state and the companies, too. You can embarrass them and force them to agree to do things. You depend on, I think, volunteers, actually, in some ways, to not just the officials of the organization who testify and stuff, but also in building, you know, mass support in the galleries, for example, in the city council, when 300 people show up there and are a little bit semi-rowdy, or at least vociferous. That makes a difference, and it also makes a difference the size of the organization and the knowledge people have. Tell us about how you do the recruiting and the way that you develop this sort of knowledge and, you know, feelings that people have that they can make a difference.
Well, the way that we organize is to build power and in an intersectional way. So from the beginning, we have always had folks from different communities with sort of multiple identities and their own sort of unique connections to the river and understandings about what their priorities are around, you know, cleanup of the river. And what we ended up finding was that there were a lot of commonalities and that we were able to easily, over many years of dialogue, reach a consensus around what the highest priorities and sort of standards were. You know, for example, like people want to be part of the solution. They want to have a role in cleaning up the river because they feel a part, they feel connected to the river. Well, even folks who have processed how they've been disconnected from the river and why, through our coalition, start to get reconnected and realize that they can have a sense of ownership and, you know, have a voice around pressuring the cleanup to happen in the right way, for it to be done in an equitable way, for it to provide career pathways to folks who need work. For example, you know, there's, as we know, we're in a housing crisis and an economic crisis ongoing during the pandemic, and there's, you know, people experiencing houselessness get pushed out to the river all the time. So people rest near the river, they get exposed down near the river. You know, what if folks could be actually part of the solution and be provided jobs training and job opportunities to participate in habitat restoration, you know, some of those other cleanup jobs. And then, you know, future redevelopment in and around the river is going to be, you know, once the river is cleaned up, economic development is going to become a big deal. And so how to do that in the most equitable way, and to think ahead about how to get more access to the river for people to recreate, more salmon habitat, for example, as well, and green space integrated into development that happens along the waterfront, you know, how to work in housing options for all income levels. Those are some of the things that have come up as priorities in our coalition, and, you know, different mechanisms and tools to realize those visions. For example, securing a community benefit agreement for the cleanup of the Portland Harbor. So that's one of our major campaigns currently and ongoing.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mill Variety Hour, talking to Cassie Cohn, the director of the Portland Harbor Community Coalition. We've talked about the struggles to clean up the Willamette River as it flows into the Columbia. We've talked about the ways the various movements have used environmental laws to embarrass the city and the state and the companies, but not yet, in fact, have a cleanup of the water. There's a great struggle over how complete and about the extent of the cleanup and what's needed. Cassie, thanks a lot for talking to us. Let's put one final thing. Of course, the harbor cleanup and the cleanup of our air and waters, that's essential for our communities, especially cities. But of course, it's terrible in rural areas, too. Problems are somewhat different. Climate scientists see that we have very few years left. It seems to me we all have to be part of the struggle to transform our economy towards renewable energy and also transform every one of our productive processes and the way we live and keep our buildings warm in the winter and cooler in the summer. Nearly every aspect of life, especially in the developed, quote, developed countries, has to be changed. Do you see that the rest of the environmental movement, which you're a major part of, how do you relate to that problem and the solution?
Currently, PHCC is planning with other partners like the Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians and others to do a community and tribal resilience plan for the river in this area of the river in Portland Harbor. So, you know, we are working on securing resources to make that happen, but it will be from the ground up. You know, it'll have research components and vulnerability assessment, but also have basically community input, tribal input around the impacts and how climate changes affect, you know, the cleanup of the river and should, you know, really influence the methods around cleaning up the river. And then, of course, the proximity of the Superfund site to the critical energy infrastructure hub in Northwest Portland, right, that, you know, where all of the gas and oil tanks are providing the majority of the gas and fuel for our entire state. That's a huge, obviously, that's a huge liability if for the climate, for the river, for the people that work and live and recreate around there. So we have to work on those intersectional issues more and more.
Cassie Cohn, so good talking to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Bill.
So long.